everybody. Welcome to the Committee of the Whole meeting of Walton Hills, Tuesday, March 12, 2019, at 7 p.m.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Terlouwski.
Here.
Nielsen.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Jennifer Allen from tonight's meeting.
Second.
Second by Penny Linville.
Councilperson Linville.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Terlouwski.
Here.
Nielsen.
Yes.
Spitznagle.
Yes.
All council present, and Jennifer Allen excused. First order of business is persons having, third order, persons having business before council. Anybody have anything for us? Hi, Josephine, come on up to the mic.
Hi. Josephine Wardle, 17850 Egford Road. What I want to say is that I do not understand if Walton Hills has ordinance against discharging of any firearms, why we allow the Metro Parks, who own property within the boundaries of Walton Hills, go in there and discharge firearms. I think that ordinance should apply to everybody, not only to the residents. They do not let the residents know. I'm against them shooting the deer, because for one thing, in the past 30 years, they haven't accomplished their goal. Their goal was to reduce the deer population to what they thought was supposed to be within the confines of the Metro Parks. Well, in 30 years, they're still shooting deer. Now, if any of you had goals like that, and you took your 30 years to accomplish it, you wouldn't be sitting here on council. But unfortunately, the Metro Park has that advantage. I would like to have them stop killing the deer because of discharging the firearms. They do not let the residents know what days they're going in there. People who live across the street could, matter of fact, I think Esper's the people, she used to be a dispatcher here. Her husband would go in the Metro Parks every day, and one day I told him, you got to watch, because sometimes they block the roads and they're shooting the deer. So they do not let the residents know the day that they're in there, which could be dangerous. Nobody was shot yet, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. I'd like to know why the village can't enforce that ordinance for the Metro Parks also. I'm sure they use high power rifles, or they use some type of rifle, shotgun. I don't think they use shotguns. I think they use rifles. So I'd like to know that could be looked into to see if there's any possibility for the safety of the village and any people who use the park, that they stop discharging firearms or any lethal weapons in the Metro Parks. Now, I don't know what can be done about it, but that is my feeling on it. And the second issue I wanted to bring up real quickly is last fall I mentioned something about talking to the new state reps to see if there's any possibility that they could introduce a bill that we can, and does it not pertain to us owning 50% of the land of the racetrack, if we could possibly receive some funding to offset some of our expenses, because we do give them access, nice roads, cleaned. They're all cleaned in the winter time. They have use of our police protection if any of their customers have an accident. So I feel that maybe we could talk to our new representatives. I understand Oakwood is in the same district we are, and we could check with the one that's in Macedonia, their state rep, because I'm quite sure they do get a lot of traffic coming through, and maybe Bedford. If we can somehow get an ordinance in because of the access and the availability and the effect that they have on the community with all the extra carbon monoxide and all the traffic, if some law could be passed down in Columbus. But we have to talk to the representatives now to get a sponsor and co-sponsors, because it takes quite a while for a bill to be introduced into the House and then in two committees. And then we do the same thing at the Senate. So those are my two statements. Okay. I know I'm talking fast.
No,
it's
sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
On the first one, you know, we can find out what rights the Metro Park has. I know years ago when it first started, a lot of communities went down that path, and I'm sure they think, but that's something we can at least look into maybe and find out. As far as Phil Robinson, we did contact his office. I actually had an appointment set up with him. He had to cancel out. He couldn't make the appointment. And so we're waiting for his assistant to reschedule with us. and we have a lot of things to talk to him about. And first, kind of meet and greet and introduce myself to him, and him introduce himself to myself, and then we have some things we'd like to talk about. So we did have, I think that was the 16th, I think was our Monday. But he, you know, he's new, he's being pulled. He had House Bill 62, which was a big thing. So we're looking to reschedule with his office.
Okay.
We're waiting for them. He knows we're on the radar. They are going to have, he is going to have a kind of a meet and greet with all the mayors in his district. But I think we were the first one to call him that we wanted to have an individual just to kind of talk about our individual needs here in the village.
Okay.
So we're,
appreciate
we want that to happen.
On both issues. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
And I did call the office, and the aide was very helpful because I rattled off about five things. But I didn't say this one because that's up to the mayor to work on. But I did talk about other issues. Okay, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I just wanted to talk. Josephine, we have been working on, Katie has been working on the racetrack, the ordinances. And we've been trying to find a contract between the racetrack and ourselves, and we can't locate a contract. Whether a contract was ever signed, I was a representative at the track when we made the deal with Walton Hills, and there's no contract that we can find. There is an ordinance, and we are working on that. It's not something that
you're talking about. The ordinance for what?
For the racing, for the money that we
money
that we get now. We get now from the racetrack.
Yeah.
We do get some, but we feel that, and I've said this right along, because of the purse increase, because of the lottery going in there, the slot machines going in there, that we should be getting more. We should be getting a bigger percentage, you know. So
that's right.
For the roads and what have you. But we are working on that. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. In fact, Fred, Mr. Nielsen, we had a little dialogue before the meeting here. Concerning that you brought it up. Any other residents have anything?
The troublemaker.
Grandpa was old. He was slow, but he was old.
Bill Deek, Egbert Road, Walton Hills. My understanding on calling it a deer, they have a truck with a platform on it, and they shoot the deer down so the bullets don't travel. So that's a good thing.
Still violating our ordinances.
Yeah.
I had a little over 40 head in my backyard.
Really?
Just the other day.
Hello, everyone. My name is Barb Rojo, 7550 Walton Road, Walton Hills, Ohio. Last week we had a terrific storm. Blew down a lot of trees and everything. Well, Monday, we get up to go to work, go to school, had to take my daughter to the doctor. They blocked the street off. So I called the police department. I said, sir, you know, it's right next door. There's no wires or anything down by us. So I said, could my daughter go to work? And I know the bus could not come down to pick up Tyler because they didn't know where the lines were down. Well, it ended up two doors down in the driveway. So anyway, that night they set up the blockades. They put lights on, you know, for everybody's safety. That was fine. Cars were still going around it. So when my daughter, actually going kind of ahead of myself, when my daughter called the police department and said, I have to go to work today because there's only me there in my department and I don't want to get fired. And she said, can't I go around like everybody else is going around? He said, absolutely not. Do not go out of your house. So she couldn't go to work. Tyler couldn't go to school. And I couldn't take my daughter to the doctor, which was very important. So the next day in the morning, that night, the lights, you know, nothing was on these barricades. How they had the flashing lights. People were driving right over them because the police department didn't put the lights back on, you know, for the barricade and the cones. So they're going right, smashing them, going, and people are coming and going up and down the street. I have no idea why didn't the police do that? Why didn't they follow through like they did the night before to make everybody safe? Because they didn't turn the lights on the barricades. So therefore, okay, we missed the whole Monday. We had to stay in our house and not to go out. So we all had electricity. Everything was working. So I have no idea what line was down across one of the driveways further down from me. And I know a tree fell down by Mike's house, but that wasn't, no wires came down there. So I'm just wondering if you could find out why the police didn't put the barricade lights on the second night, and this let everybody go up and around, driving through. The school bus couldn't come down, so the next day I drove all the way around and came down Jefferson and waited for the bus to come so I could put Tyler on the bus.
Here's what I can tell you. Rob, did you want to answer or want me to answer? Well, I'll answer.
I can respond.
Here, let me tell you what I know, Barb. When there's a down wire, especially in a storm like that, the first thing is everybody's safety.
Right.
First thing. So what our police, because they're going to be there quicker than, let's say, the CEI, the illuminating company, who was responsible for that, especially in a large storm, we go and secure it, and that's their main concern. Why the lights were out, I'd have to talk to Stan on that. I don't know if they were battery-powered and they were dead the next day. That I can't answer. But as far as that goes, and what CEI basically does, the illuminating company, their direction is don't let anybody, you know, near the wire, make it secure until they can evaluate it. Okay, because that's their job, and so that's what our police department did.
The other question was, there's only 8 houses, 4 on one side and 4 on my side. None of us were told anything, you know, because we're going, what's going on? I open the door, you know, the lights are flashing, the police, the fire department, the rescue squad, everybody's out there in front of the house, and they're running back and forth, and I stood there by the door with it open so they could see I was there, but none of us were notified that there was an issue about anything. And I think with 8 houses, they could have let us know something, what was going on.
Well, yeah, I couldn't argue that. We could do that better.
And then, too, if we would have known that, my daughter could have parked across the street, you know, so she could get out the next day to go to work.
I know they didn't, you know, the wire was down in
Tom and Sandy's.
Alexander's Yard. Fitzpatrick's.
Right. Yeah.
And they didn't want them, they told them not to leave to the illuminating company.
Yeah, because I saw her walking down the street into the parking lot to get.
And they actually control, when it comes to down wires, they are the reigning authority of that because it's their wire and safety's the first issue. As far as communicating that, that's something we can always do better.
Well, that we should. And then, like I said, with the nobody put the lights on at night. I'm not talking about during the day because you can see during
the
day.
You're talking about the flashes.
At night, the
flashing
lights on the cones and on the barricade thing. But, you know, and people just crashed right through and going around them all day and then that night.
Right.
So that's all I wanted to know.
Okay. But did you have anything to add to that, Rob? That's fine if not.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if they're in, it's confined. They just don't want anybody touching or getting near that because at the time they don't know, is it a bare wire? Is it okay? You know, we've had instances in other communities where people have been electrocuted. That's the number one.
Lefty loosey, righty tight.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna take. Are you kidding me?
Hello. All right. Not very much. I guess the only comment I would want to make is, I noted your concerns. I was aware of the wire across Fitzpatrick's driveway. I thought they were the only ones affected, and all I can say is, I just reiterate to the other residents, is that I got a lot of calls and complaints about either downed wires or whatever. We do not control the power company. Their schedule, when they get there or otherwise. I know the Fitzpatricks were very frustrated. That line was down for more than 24 hours across their driveway. There's nothing that we can do about that. The police, when they show up, that and I believe we had better than 15,000, countywide, over 15,000 yes. people without power. When the police show up, they don't know anything about down wires, and they close the whole road. That line was still down, and once I got from First Energy some feedback, I went over there and opened Walton Road, and it was that line was still down. All I can say as far as notifying residents, the second night, no lights on it, there's no excuse for that. I would like to say I won't have that happen again. I mean, the police put out the barricades that they had. We also had barricades on Sagamore and on Dunham, and we were honestly running thin on orange barrels during that storm. As far as communication, I can't speak for the police. I know that we were spread extremely thin. We had trees falling and blocking roadways on Tinkers, Dunham, Sagamore, Alexander, several on Dunham, Egbert. We're a small shop. I mean, we're trying to be everywhere at the same time. So out of everything, the blinking lights, second night, absolutely that needs to be there, that safety situation. I'll speak to
We'll address that. If we need to purchase something or more, we will.
That's fine. I'll take corrective action on that. I just wanted to reiterate, comes to power lines, unfortunately, we do not control the schedule. I mean, there's nothing we can do. But, I mean, that's all I have on that.
Right. Yeah, and just to kind of tell you what we do on a village end here, and I know people that were at this meeting last week, we talked about it. We do have a representative from the illuminating company. It's more of a PR rep that we have a contact with, and we notified him, Mr. Smalley, which I think some of you have met. We've had him here, and he gave us some information and stuff. But he still, his hands were tied because, like anything, they take care of the largest outages first that affect the most people. Actually, we didn't have, like you said, we had a down wire, but we had nobody without power. We weren't sure about the resident next door to that house, so we told Mr. Smalley that we think that might not have power, and that upped the urgency of the down wire. So on our end, we were doing what could do. Rob and Katie were making phone calls, along with myself, to our representative and pushing them along, but besides dragging him here, that's the most we can do. And his hands are tied too. He doesn't schedule. That's all scheduled at a high level according to priority and safety. But we did get that. They did get that done a day earlier than expected. So we did appreciate that and stuff. So. Yeah, that was a big storm. I got to commend. I know there's issues, and you learn from those issues, and that's great, Barb, that you brought it to the forefront, because we all get better. It's not a matter of saying what we did wrong, but what can we do better? And so we can do some things better in that situation, and that's why it's important to get the feedback from the residents and people involved. On the flip side, like Rob said, our service department did a great job, along with Rob, who is in a management role, but sometimes he's doing more labor than he is management. I know we had a big tree across Alexander Road, blocking traffic. The police were there. Before you know it, our service department had it out of the way. You know, I was out in that and traveling through other communities, and they're waiting for. There's, you know, having a small department with very responsive employees, you just can't put a dollar amount on it. They did a great job. It just was probably a little bigger than what we are normally used to. It was a big storm. You know, 14,000 people were down for almost 4 days. They brought in, I forget how many crews, you know, illuminating company, Ohio Edison doesn't handle it. They bring in from Pennsylvania, West Virginia. They hire Cleveland Public Power employees. You know, they didn't have the they don't have the manpower either. But, so, thank you. Any other residents have anything? Hey, go ahead. Come on, Ray.
Ray Tinner, 18409 Jefferson Drive. When I first came here, I had two questions. My little mind popped up with a third, but it's not so much of a question, but if we're having these traffic cameras, and I read in the paper the other day that they're trying to pass a bill, and I didn't know what kind of effect it would have on that. But my main two questions was that I'm going to be running for mayor. No, I'm not. What? I don't know if the it has been passed or what, but we were told that we were going to find out if this is going to be a full-time mayor or a half-time mayor. And the other question is that we were told that the 7 o'clock trial period for starting of council meeting was going to be discussed, and it was seven. The main reason why it was 7 o'clock was because there's more people here. I don't see any more people here than when there is at 6 o'clock, and 6 o'clock I think is more convenient for not only the residents because they get home at a halfway decent hour than the council, because sometimes I know you guys are here till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night when you have your private meetings. So I didn't know what the agenda was on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Council, if you want to answer any of those, because I think those are more appropriate for council to answer than me when it comes in, because I know those are something you have to discuss.
I think, Mr. Mayor, that you know, the council president can speak with you, and we can put that on the agenda. I know that we have intentions of we have to speak to that and answer that question within a certain time limit of the next election to begin with. So that does have to be done.
Yes.
As far as you running for mayor, you know, if you want to hand out buttons or something. And as far as the council meeting times, as far as I'm only one of six, one of seven, or nine that are actually here, either way is fine for me. Me personally, I like the 7 o'clock one. It gives me time to finish my day, eat dinner with the family, and then come here. Where before I didn't have that. I tended to be rushing a lot, and I don't know, a lot more people work here the 9-to-5 jobs than I do, so they can probably speak to that better. But whatever the residents want, I'm here to work for the residents, and if the majority of the residents want a 6 o'clock meeting, then we'll do a 6 o'clock meeting. But as far as I'm concerned, the 7 o'clock, what the 7 o'clock meeting did do, and you're correct, there's not a whole plethora of people here like they argued for, but what the 7 o'clock meeting did was take the argument away from those people. So we don't hear anybody squawking that they can't make the meetings anymore either. They just don't want to come.
Yes.
Is really what it is. There were a few people I invited to, personally invited to our information meeting, because they came up and made it known that they weren't getting information, want to be involved, and they never showed up. So, you know, it's the same old story, but, you know, I'm flexible on whatever council wants to do. That's my two cents.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mayor.
As far as the time of the meetings, I think it was Josephine who pushed to have it at 7, so that more people would be able to attend. And I have to agree with Brian, it really hasn't done anything for bringing up the attendance. So if you want to come, I guess you're going to come, whether it's at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Personally, I'm like Brian. I'm lucky if I get home at 5:30. So getting here at 6 would sometimes be cutting it short. I prefer 7 o'clock, but again, if everyone else wants 6 o'clock, you know, we could go back to that. But it makes it a little easier than I get to eat dinner, too, before I get here. So, and anyway, once they start at 7, I don't want to be here till 10 o'clock at night so we can push this along a little faster. So, but again, and then we will have to address the mayor's position, either full-time or part-time. But I think our part-time mayor is working out just fine, so.
Well, I like the 6 o'clock meeting. We're getting out of here 8 o'clock, closer to 9 o'clock. We could be getting home earlier. I know you want to come home and eat dinner, but I never liked it when to come home and rush, eat dinner and rush out and go have to go someplace. When I eat dinner, I want to stay home for the rest of the night. I don't want to be going someplace else. So. I'd like the 6. Well, you could pull the audience. What do they want?
What if you split it? We talked about it. What if you go 6:30? We got time to eat. We got time to go and eat. We are 6:30 and we can both be happy with it. And then compromise.
Other commuters just have it at 8 o'clock. I don't know.
Who has it at 8 o'clock?
Whether people come or don't come, everybody else has it at 8 o'clock. Bedford.
I'll make a comment. I don't think we put a time frame on how long have we been doing it for. Right? I don't think we said that we're going to review it in a certain amount of time or
we just changed
anything
it.
Like that.
Just
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I was asking.
The other thing you have to look at, I guess, since you evaluate it this way, you got about the same amount of people, 6 and 7. But if you did have something that people wanted to come to, let's say there was an issue that people felt they needed to come to a meeting, which one would accommodate the most people as far as which would help? Because you're never going to get, unless there's an issue that affects somebody, a majority of people aren't going to come to a regular council meeting. You know, but if they see something on the agenda that they feel they like to voice their opinion or support somebody who's voicing their opinion. So I guess you have to look at it, you know, if that were to arise, you would want the most people there for that reason. So,
well, Mr. Mayor,
I mean, if they're both the same, you know, I don't know, or accommodate your fellow coworkers. We're a team here, okay? If it helps somebody to get here on time, be more prepared, okay, then that's what's important. You know, that's what's important is as a group, I'm either way, doesn't matter to me, but as council, you have to decide if it helps you as a group to be more effective one way or the other. I guess that's going to be the most important part of the decision there.
Well, we can discuss this.
There you go.
There you go.
She could discuss it, Bill. Anybody else have anything before council? What was your third one, Ray?
He was running for mayor.
Oh, the traffic camera.
Oh, the
legislation.
What kind of effects
do they have on that? Do you know those numbers offhand? Because it did pass, House Bill 62.
Yeah, I spoke with our representative from GATSO, our camera company, and it was essentially passing through the offset of local government funding, which we don't really receive a significant amount, about $18,000 a year, whereas we brought in $242,000 on our one camera last year. So, and I don't know if you're familiar with more of the pieces, but he didn't seem very concerned that it was going to affect us. And they do have lobbyists that are working on that also.
And the state's been cutting our funding for years. They're just looking for an excuse to cut more funding.
Yeah, we get very little from, you know, what was it? You said
about 18?
Because I was going to say 14.
When's that camera going to go up?
Well, Rob's here. We're hoping soon.
Soon what?
The camera.
Soon it'll go up.
I know somebody who doesn't want it to go up.
Katie,
yes.
Mike's question.
Oh, sorry.
No, Mike's question is what? Yeah, I'll say just say it's into the mic, Mike. Otherwise, I'll have you. What determines state the funding you get from state community to community? You know, why would Parma get more than us? Is it size? Is it residents? What determines? Do you know that answer? I'm sure it's size and
yeah, I believe it is based on demographics and population.
Area.
I don't know if it's based on the area you cover. I can look into that more and find out. I haven't done a lot of research on it because I don't get so much. So no, but I can find out more information.
No, I wouldn't think it would have anything to do with. Because what we collect from taxes is a separate than what the...
Yeah, we receive pretty significant distributions for like state highway gas tax, vehicle registrations. Those are all based on the people who are within our community. The local government funding is just a separate piece of funding that we receive. Larger communities do receive a larger share, so I will guesstimate that it is based on population and possibly area. So.
Any other questions? Okay. Item number 5, resolution 2019-6.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Yes,
what about council comments?
Oh, I missed them.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I have just some very minor. First of all, I agree with Josephine that a gun discharge is a gun discharge, no matter where it occurs and what have you. And when they bought property in our community, they were familiar with our laws. And I think that the parkland people should observe our ordinances, okay? The other thought I had was in terms of... attendance at meetings, I can recall in the recent past, and I try to count people at each meeting. I've counted as many as 40 people at a COW meeting, okay? And there's been, you know, I think that's the highest I've counted, but there's been considerably more than what's here tonight, though, as well, on several occasions, okay? Just that point I would make. The other thing is I wish to thank my fellow members for excusing me last week for missing the meeting. So that was my third thought. So thank you so much.
Did you write 100 times, I will not miss any more meetings?
He did. He turned it in this
morning. Well, I want to let you know, Denny.
So that's all I had to say, Mayor. I hope it wasn't too much.
Denny, there's more people here tonight than there was last week. Just
yes.
Wanted to let you know.
Okay. Well,
that you weren't here, I mean, just...
Well, I didn't speak the last week, though.
So. You weren't here.
No. So.
Okay.
Any other council comments?
I just have a couple. As we spoke last week about the journal, we had a conversation, and I did contact Ackland Printing, the lady there, and she is coming up with pricing both on 1,200 of the spiral bound books and also laminating the front cover for our review and discussion. We, Denny, to fill you in, we discussed pricing on not the journal,
the directory.
I apologize, the directory.
If we decide to put out, council decides to put out a new directory.
The phone directory.
What was our last one?
14.
Yeah, the phone directory. And we had a short discussion on that. And Ackland Printing, our printing company, is coming up, and they did the directory prior to this, and all the other directories too. Yeah. So they're coming up with pricing on some laminated covers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be black and white, but also some spiral bound. They were less expensive than the
The Stapled?
The Stapled and the, they call it some kind of sewn.
They called it something.
Book. So, and I checked this afternoon. The pricing has not come in yet. I have not received an email. But I just wanted to let everybody know that that is in the works. I did follow through on that. And I did the other day get a reverse 911 phone call, a test message. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else got it.
Yes.
The county, the county does it now. And the county is going through Code Red now. And that was the original company that we had, Code Red. So concerning the comments about, the communication stuff, yes, we could do better on that stuff. And maybe events like this, we could go through the county, through that Code Red, and call the people on the street and tell them what's going on. You know, when they find out what's going on is sometimes the police don't know when they first get there, so it's kind of difficult, and I can understand that. But I can also understand, as a resident, you're there for hours and nobody knows what's happened. You see all these lights. So that would be a good idea that, once they get everything under control, make a reverse 911 call to those residents, just telling them what was going on. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Any other comments from council? Yeah, Gloria.
I had a question. Since Rob's here, I talked about the community center down the street, about the lighting, especially the driveway when you come in. If there's something that can be done with that, I think you said there was something about some grant we could get for lighting.
Yes, we received
NOPEC grant.
NOPEC grant. Katie, we're $9,800 or something?
Roughly.
And we anticipate on doing lighting this summer.
On the driveway.
Yeah. So.
Especially when it's dark, you cannot see that. They can attest to it because I know they come for the book club and that, and you don't know where to turn. You know, it's too dark there. Even if there were reflectors up there.
Well, reflectors are easy and quick. Mm-hmm. That's something I'll do right now.
Okay.
The lighting, we'll probably tackle that in the summer.
Reflectors would be good, though.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
With that, it's Robin, I'll share, and maybe you want to share. It's, we talked about that, and Rob actually got a call from somebody close to that, said a resident, said the lights are too bright in their yard. So you always are, when me and Rob were talking about, was that last week or whatever, it's... You're still, when you have a community center like that in a residential area, you also have to be sensitive to that, too. Safety, of course, is going to be number one, but I know we talked about whether it's a timer or something, so, they're not on all night when it's not being used, or they're switched on and off automatically, with a timer or something. So wanted to share that.
I was going to mention that, actually.
I know, I can tell by your
I received the call from the resident, and I said, believe it or not, it's been brought to my attention that the parking lot might not be...
Light enough.
And he was blown away, and he wanted to know why I kept the lights on so late, and... I don't like dark parking lots. So we keep them on, I believe, right now we keep them on to about midnight or 1 o'clock. Most events are shook out and out of there by that time. I told them there's nothing we can do about the time that those lights are on. I mean, it's not a good idea to have dark parking lots.
No.
So, but yeah, I believe even before Gloria, we had already added the wall packs on the side of the building
right, to
lighten that up. We're looking at putting some LEDs up lighting. The up lighting that exists on the front of that building now was meant to be temporary when we first got the place. So as the temporary lights have burnt out, we've kind of organized them, still make it look until we can do the upgrade. So, but the upgrade there, and yes, turning into there. But we'll address that this summer. But yeah, I did find it kind of humorous about the parking lot because it was actually right after the last time I was here, and so.
Yeah, you have to think of all angles here. We're thinking about how to light it up like it's daylight, and then we get the call with somebody who lives next door, which you have to respect them too, because, you know, so.
Mayor?
Yes.
We would have the police, though. They would make regular rounds at these places, though, wouldn't they? I mean,
they make regular
think so.
Rounds of everything in the village.
Yeah,
right.
I would think so.
Yeah. Oh,
so
definitely.
I would certainly hope
right.
so. Thank you.
But that's what they are. They're exactly what you mentioned. They're rounds. So,
yeah.
You know, parking lots being lit up is important for the safety of everybody. And, you know, that hall is being used so much now. It's really being used a lot. It's used on the weekends. And even during the week now, it's Fridays are becoming popular. And so, any other council comments? Or? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did skip. I had that under.
One thing.
Yes.
Good job, Rob, and the crew during
job.
The storm. I meant to say thank you. I know you guys were really busy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We kind of lucked out the other day, and we were going to get, they said those 70 mile an hour winds the other day.
Yeah.
It kind of wasn't as bad or as severe. Okay, item number 5, resolution 2019-6, senior lawn care contract. I know we talked about it. It's being awarded to Sharpscapes. There will be legislation, a resolution on next Tuesday's meeting. Any questions on that contract or any comments? Everybody good with having it on? We'd like to get it out there, you know, award the contract.
Yeah.
They were the lowest bid too, correct?
Overall, yes.
Overall.
How many bidders did they have?
Three.
How many years have they had it now? 5 years? Or?
Four, five.
Three or four for sure.
And snow plowing as well.
Yeah, they do this residential snow plowing. Well, if no comments on that, any comments on that from the residents before we move on? Okay. We have resolution 2019-7, the moratorium on the small cell tower structures. I know we had a resident come forward last month at one of our COW meetings and was concerned about the cell towers going in residential areas and being so close and the radiation and everything. And we did pass a moratorium relating to that. It is coming, the end of it is coming up.
May 1st.
So Bill brought it to my attention and we talked about it. And his suggestion is to extend a moratorium, but at the same time, we need to get some legislation together for it, get a policy together. Something that addresses that instead of just putting a moratorium. So we need to address
it's a Band-Aid.
It.
Yeah.
But the first things first would be next council meeting, extend a moratorium on it. And we would extend it for that would be up to council. That's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, a date certain. So, I mean, last time we just said for 1 year and it kind of has floated out there. I thought it might be best if we had a date certain, whatever that is, February 25th or whatever, so that we know that we got till that time to get something in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Sounds good.
So in the legislation, it has a blank mm-hmm. that we'll just fill it in. So it's up to you folks as to what date you want to put in there. But
yeah, so the conversation tonight would be the date we would want, so we can put that in the legislation for next Tuesday. Bill did receive some legislation that other communities have put in place.
Yeah.
There isn't too many out there, they're all doing, they're kind of, a lot of them are where we're at. They're just starting to look at it. They have moratoriums, but now they know it's time to move on it. So those are going to come forward probably next month in the COW meeting for us to look at them, everybody get a copy, and see how we need to tailor it to our community too.
Mm-hmm. And you may recall when we passed this moratorium last May, we got a sample of Strongsville's. Mm-hmm. It was really, really sophisticated and tied in. It was probably that thick. So so that's one to look at. And I grabbed the Cuyahoga Heights' past one about 3 or 4 months ago. So I grabbed that one. And I also grabbed another one from another community. So mm-hmm. you can look at those and decide how you want to address them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I know, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead.
For Bill here, I do know from doing a previous moratoriums that you just can't put a moratorium on in perpetuity. You have to have a date. So would you suggest like another 6 months, or would you suggest a year, or just, you know, what kind of time frame are we?
I think we're safe with a year so long as we address it.
The resident came up here specifically speaking about 5G, mm-hmm. the 5G wireless. I did find another doctor, a professor, discussing that, a video and written documentation about the hazards of that. But, you know, the investigating this takes, you know, one person says this, and then you got another person to contradict it, you know. Plus, the thing that is not on our side as far as whether this is, in fact, bad force or not, is what I do know is big industry is pushing for 5G.
Yes.
All those big industries. And they're the ones that are going to probably most likely win, you know, for the 5G is supposed to do all kinds of things. They've got all kinds of plans, from drivable cars to just all kinds of automating your home, just all kinds of things. And you know, where it goes, I'm trying to compile a lot of, you know, all the information I can on it. But I don't know if there's anything at the local level that we're going to be able to do specifically about 5G. We may be able to say, well, you can't put a cell tower right there. I don't know. But as far as keeping 5G or anything else out, of the village, I don't know if we're ever going to be successful doing that.
Mr. Mayor. I agree with Brian, because what I have read, none of it's good, and it is being powered behind big business.
Yep.
Because this is it. This is going to take us way farther ahead computer-wise with everything, including those cars that drive themselves, etc.
Yep.
I think, like you said, we might not be able to hold it off. I think 5G is going to be here, but if we can not have those towers in every third person's yard or whatever, mm-hmm. I think we should try and make an effort to keep this out if we can, and eventually it will take over even if it's not in our own yard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get away from this now. The brave new world.
Right. No, the legislation, I don't think, is actually geared to keep it out. That's to crazy. Give you some control
over where towers
will be constructed to fit your community, and that's the part where we have to look at. I mean, our big strength here in this village, we know, is the Country Home District, mm-hmm. and that's what one of all things you talk about in this community. Everybody has that common ground, is that they love the Country Home District. You're in Cuyahoga County, and you feel like you're in the country. And that is really important to maintain here. So, yeah, so we got some work to do with that, because I know that two ones Bill showed me, they're about this thick. you know, so that's why we got to look. And the reason we're looking at someone else's thing, because sometimes it's a lot cheaper to gather that information and pick and choose instead of hiring somebody to put that together for you. That's the bottom line. I mean, we could do the same thing those communities did and hire somebody, but
why?
And a lot of those companies like pages.
Mm-hmm.
The more pages, the more expensive it is. So we'll see what, you know, maybe we can pull from that. So that's going to be coming the next month in the COW. We'll start sharing that information and seeing what everybody thinks on that. So what about a date? Do we want to put a date in there? Everybody pretty much want to go
comfortable
a year?
With a year.
You want to go more than a year? I know Bill mentioned a year, and I said, well, you know, we get to the end of the year, it's always, we got budgets, we got this. And then I said to Bill, can we go past the first of the year, you know, give us some more time instead of being, you know, unless you feel comfortable with that, we'll get it done. I mean, what we don't want to do is not get it done. We want to get it done within that time frame. We certainly don't want to probably extend it again. That's mm-hmm. I think, the point.
Right. Exactly.
And what Brian said, mm-hmm. too, you know, just.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I wouldn't want to go any more than a year, and I think we should make it a priority to try and get some legislation even before the year is out.
Okay,
you know, because
sure.
You know, by the fall we're already thinking about the budget, mm-hmm. and what have you, but this is something we need to address.
Well, I think we should
right. have it done before the end of this year. Okay. I wouldn't have no problem with a year moratorium, but I'd like to see legislation done if we can before 12/31. I mean, this should be.
Is that the date you want in there? Is 12/31 then, or did you want?
Well, I mean, you could if you today? Did if we did it before the moratorium expired, the legislation.
Oh yeah, that's better.
Well, that's what I mean. We'll give the moratorium a year in case we can't meet that goal. But my personal goal, I mean, I would very much like to see this done before the end of this year, because things come up. We're all doing other things. I mean, we've got thick legislation to look into, but we need to stop this before something else can get ahead of us. That's my personal feeling. Doesn't mean everyone else feels that way.
How does everybody feel?
I agree with that, Mr.
Yeah.
Mayor. We
can so
put
you want to
year and then work on a goal of getting
yeah,
it
we're
done
start.
Before.
We'll start next month. But do you
yes.
want to? Put the end of the year for the date, or did you want to go 12 months from?
I would go 12 months, and then if we
yes,
get it done as
on the
as,
moratorium, just in case for whatever reason we can't finish the legislation by the end of the year. But I think personally, that should be our personal goal here as a body to mm-hmm. try and get some definitive, concrete legislation in place by 12/31. But I'd give the moratorium a year just to cover ourselves. I didn't
Bill,
say it.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I am. I'm comfortable with the year. Absolutely.
Okay. Is everybody on council good? And we'll have yep. Bill put in for
yes. April 30th of 20?
Yep, that's fine.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we'll get it done next month.
Good suggestion.
As more, Mr. Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, the state legislature did pass legislation, so I would. That's correct, right?
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
So I would assume that localities are going to be moving on this now that they have something to look at, and so we can gather all those, just like you said, and then pick and choose what we want to do, what suits us best. So I think it's going
right.
to move. It's going
right.
to start moving fast now.
That's just why I thought 12/31 would be a good end
yeah.
date. For us.
Good. So that will be on next Tuesday's.
That is, unless they're waiting for us to do it.
Well, some have asked if we have ours done, so we're not alone. Go ahead.
So that will be on for passage next week?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For the moratorium.
For the moratorium.
For the,
for the moratorium.
Yeah, we're going to put that through.
Got it.
Any residents have any comments on that
piece of legislation? Okay. Item number seven, just a reminder, we have Student Government Day next Tuesday. The students are going to be here about 4:30. They're going to, you know, go through the police department, work with the police, kind of the usual routine. Kind of they go through everything with the police department. They run them through a few things. And then we will have dinner with the students at 5:30 in the community room.
5:30?
5:30.
Okay.
Yes, across the hall. And at that time, you'll get your partner, your shadow. Have a good conversation with the students, like as always. That's it for item seven. Anybody have any comments on Student Government Day? And we didn't have the piece of legislation in here. We'll have it for, because we didn't get back the names of the students yet. Mm. We like to put the names of the students in that. And Katie hasn't received that yet, so. Once we receive that, we got to receive it by next Monday. So, or we just leave them out and they have to amend it. Anything on that?
Huh.
Residents, anything on Student Government Day? Okay, other business? I have a few things. Does any council have any thing other business?
Mr. Mayor,
Go ahead, Mr. Nielsen.
We had talked about the truck traffic on Alexander Road. Have we gotten back anything from Stan about anything we can do about slowing that down? I mean, we're starting to get car haulers going through now.
Yes, I've seen that.
And there's no, place that they could be going here locally.
Right.
When you say, running car haulers up and down, and it's getting pretty serious. I mean, it's really turning into a truck lane. So if we're going to repave this and we're going to spend the money to repave Alexander Road, and it's just going to make it that much easier for them, that there has to be some way to deter, whether it's weighing them, ticketing them for excessive, speed, because I know living right there by the hills, they roll those hills because they want to make the next hill. And so anybody coming out of their driveway, it's just a situation now where it's turned into a regular truck lane. I'm watching 6, 8, 10 tractor trailers in a row going. And if we're going to pay, if we're paying as I mean, I live here too. It's coming out of my pocket to pay to resurface the roads and have what for trucks that have no business. So I just wanted to bring it up again. I know we talked about it before. And
I did talk to Stan about it, and I know he can't. At one time, we had the signs that said no truck traffic, and by law couldn't enforce it. But then we did talk, there is weight limits by law, but then you'd have to. So let me talk to Stan again.
Mr. Mayor.
Let's see if there's any other deterrence out there or some way for us to slow them down.
Mr. Mayor, I wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Nielsen. And we had Mr. Sheehy here, and he said that, that we have the same weight limit as the highway. I think they're coming from getting off 271 and cutting through to 77 on their way elsewhere. You can't stop that, but I say what you can do is you can stop them and check their documentation, check their time logs, do all that stuff. And I know it's manpower intensive for the police, but word gets around, that hey, Walton Hills is checking, they'll probably you be the thorn in the side enough, they might find a different road to go down that's easier for them.
Right,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes,
I think Mr. Kelman wants to say something. Or am I wrong?
I
Okay, I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I...
I mean, the truck traffic on Alexander, I mean, I grew up on Alexander, and there was no trucks on Alexander, ever. The only time you saw a truck, there was a police officer behind him giving him a ticket. Now, so I asked the question, why? And because Glen Willow doesn't have trucks, they just go to Bond Street. Oakwood put new road in there, and it says no trucks. Car Brother mixers run down Alexander every day. They were never allowed down Alexander. However, the way it was explained to me is that we received county money to improve a county road. We cannot restrict the traffic, is how it was explained to me. When Egbert was redone, we received grant money for that. We immediately went to go put all the signs back up. We were instructed to take the sign down that limited the truck access. Because we received grant money, we cannot limit it. And as that's my understanding. If there's a way to limit it, I think it'd be great, because I hear about it from my dad all the time. I mean...
It's gotten a lot worse.
It's bad. Yeah. I don't know what the legality is on lowering when we're ticketing on that camera. Because the other thing is, they're rolling down fast.
Oh, they're coming through. Yeah.
I mean,
you can hear them.
So, but
my camera on the other side is definitely going to help.
Right.
Well,
but Fred, that was explained to me, that we received funding,
and that it was, you know, that's been the law of the land for forever. If you take funding, that's how it's always been. But my suggestion too was, if we have to not take county money, and we, as a village, figure out a way to pave between Walton Road and Egbert Road on our own, are they allowed to use it?
Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Last time this came up, I did do a little bit of a look into it. And the law has changed over the last 15 years on truck traffic, and it's pretty hard to prohibit traffic from using your roads. But what I will do is I'll go back and I'll take a better look at it and give you what I think the option. I think what I came up last time when I was looking at is that in order to limit, you're going to have to do a study to say there's a reason why you're limiting it, and the study's going to have to support it to allow you to do that. So, but let me go back and look at it, and then next week or the week after, we can talk about it again.
Okay. Because, you know, one of the things, we're residential from Valley View all the way to Northfield Road.
Right. But they're going to have, if I remember, you're going to have to give them a path somewhere. They
gotta
I understand. Yeah. But, again, we're, you know, so when you're talking about a study.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm coming from. You know, sooner or later, there's going to be a problem. It's going to be.
But we can only, Fred, enforce whatever we can within the law.
No,
so let's find out what
I understand.
The law is.
I'm just bringing this up to, you know.
Right.
It's just like pulling somebody over, you know. You'd like to pull a truck over because it's a truck, but you can't just pull a truck over. And you have to have a reason why you're pulling someone over. Like anything, you can't, you know, discriminate. Oh, I'm going to pull this one, this not this one, or you know.
If they feel,
so we'll find out.
If they feel a truck, you know, highway patrol. If they feel a truck is overweight, they can pull them over and weigh them. And
that's a state highway patrol.
Chuck, well, they'll work. They'll work an area. They'll help you if they think there's a problem.
That's a good suggestion. And thinking about the state highway patrol,
yeah.
Fred, that's
when Chuck Victor was here in one of the meetings, and he suggested too. He said, you know, you can force them to get the truck weight, and you can make them stop what they're doing and take them to Car Brothers and run them over the scale. I mean, if like Brian said, once the word gets around, if you're going to hassle them, they're not going to cut through here.
I thought
it. The state's done that in the past with Porter Scale. Sure. Right in front of Fuel Mart.
Darn right.
Right,
they have.
Right.
I've seen
Northfield.
I've watched them do
on
it.
On Northfield.
Right. Yep.
I thought at one time we had spot weighing.
Which is a state
spot weighing right. of yeah. trucks.
On Northfield we had.
Which is a state route. I thought it was Alexander, too.
Alexander's a county route.
Yeah, but Highway Patrol will work a county road. They'll work on it.
And the fact that 271 is still a disaster is not helping this situation either, because people just bypass, like you said, all of 271 and 480 to get to 77. This is the most direct route.
Well, they found out, you skip the
whole thing.
Yeah.
They found out now that it's
going to get worse.
Well, you're probably
right. Then you
throw
the residential casino traffic in there.
Yeah, and just regular car traffic.
Believe me, it's probably one of the, in this seat as mayor, it's probably one of the biggest complaints. Stormwater's probably number one, and number two is the roads and speeding on Alexander Road and some of the other secondary roads. Mm-hmm. There's just no doubt about it, and the traffic increase. Let me talk to Stan tomorrow, and Bill's going to look into the legality end. We can share with Stan too. You can talk to Stan too, or any council members. But maybe see if we can draw the state, and maybe it just takes a phone call or something, and they'll send somebody here also to. Observe the road, and then if there's a study that needs to be done, then we'll talk about that too. So let's see what we can come up with. Let's see where we stand, what we can do to slow those trucks down or limit the traffic if we have that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
We've done studies before. Now, when they do those studies, is it just how many cars, how many vehicles go through, or do they break it down by cars and trucks?
Yeah, I'll need to look at it again. That was about 4 or 5 months ago when we talked about it last, so I don't know, but I've got my notes, so I can kind of speak.
So maybe we already have that information.
That camera company did a study.
Yep.
The
yeah, right. Well, so we had to have a study before they come in, so, yeah. You know, did they just say, okay, any vehicle that goes through there, doesn't matter, but if they said it's a car versus a truck?
We didn't have the truck problem that we have now. And it's progressively gotten worse in the last 6 months.
Well, I think, like Mary says, you've got the freeway over there. It's a zoo.
Well, I understand.
Plus the
and on the bridge on 480, you know, they
oh,
want to,
yeah, the
you
whole
know,
thing.
That's, but it's just, it's really getting, looks like a truck route, truck route some days, just nothing but trucks. So, but when you see car haulers, where are they coming from? I mean, where are they going to? It's so they're just cut through. That's all it is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you do see some truck haulers, I know.
Yep.
Car haulers.
Because Hub Park isn't doing any more than it was. You know, it isn't like there's been an expansion down there or anything, you know.
How many semis?
West of us or anything, or east of us, really.
Just a rough guess. You know, just working down with Marty down at the... down by his farm, and it's right across from the Hub Park. You know, you might see 30, 40 trucks in a day, you know, semis. And usually it's a little heavier on Mondays and Fridays. We're seeing that an hour over here.
They're not coming from
Hub Park. I mean, this has turned into...
Oh, no, right. I'm saying Hub Park hasn't changed.
No, Hub Park hasn't changed, right?
There's no increase in... It isn't like we can justify saying, but there's more industry or there's more
right.
business going on west of us. Well, let's see what we can find out from there and do some research and see what we can do. Any other business from council? Everybody good? For myself, well, I wanted to let everybody know about, of course, Student Government Day, which we had on the agenda. We do have Morning with the Mayor tomorrow at 9 to 11 in the community room. Everybody is welcome. Hope to see everybody there. That's tomorrow morning.
And that's about it. We have our council meeting next Tuesday, along with Student Government Day. Next month, for the COW meetings, I know, Gloria, me and you talk maybe to get recreation. I'd like to get economic development in there. I'm hoping we hear something from Ford. Our last conversation was they're going to narrow it down to two capable purchasers, two capable buyers. We're waiting for that call. We're hoping that's coming soon here. I just want to really know who they are. They haven't shared that with us. So we were kind of hoping for that, for the economic development meeting there. So I'd like to get that out. Maybe, I don't know, Mary, did you want to do finance?
Yeah, we can do that.
Finance, the quarter will be ending. We can kind of wrap up where we're at financially for the first quarter of 2019. And go from there. Anybody else? Anything from the residents? Can we have a motion for adjournment?
Mr. Mayor, make a motion to adjourn the COW meeting of March 12th.
Second.
Second by Mr. Linville.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagel?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 8:11 p.m.
Well, that's for me.
PM.
It's a reminder.
Thank you, everybody.